Good evening. My name is Dr. Charlie McCormick. I'm the Provost and Vice President for Academic Affairs here at Shriner University. And on behalf of President Summerlin and all of our faculty, staff, and students, I welcome you to the university for what is this evening the final Texas Water Symposium for this academic year. Having recently returned to Texas after a hiatus of some 15 years, I can attest to the fact that water is central in people's minds and in their lives. I arrived here in the summer of last year, and interestingly and perhaps ironically enough, even when water wasn't in our life, it was more central than ever to our lives. And so I'm thrilled to get to be a part of this Texas Water Symposium this evening. In just a few moments, one of my colleagues is going to talk about the partnership that has led to this Texas Water Symposium, but for a very brief moment, I want to talk about some of the people behind the partnership and quickly recognize them. They're the people that have done a tremendous amount of work to bring this symposium to you. They include the president of Shriner University, Dr. Tim Summerlin, who I regret could not be here this evening with us. They include Dr. Tom Arsufi from Texas Tech University, Christy Muse, the executive director of the Hill Country Alliance, Ernie Villarreal of Texas Public Radio, and Bob Hickerson of Texas Tech University as well. Thanks to all of these people for bringing us the Texas Water Symposium. Now, tonight's program is entitled Kids, Water, and Science, Perspectives from Our Future. And it's a different type of water symposium, quite honestly. Over the past several years, we've heard from many brilliant thinkers, we've heard from activists, we've heard from community leaders about the significance of water. Tonight, we hear from some of the most important voices of all, the brilliant thinkers, activists, community leaders of tomorrow. Over the past several months, students from throughout the Hill Country have written about the significance of water from their perspectives. Their superintendents and their principals submitted these essays to us, and from this group of very fine essays, we had the difficult task of determining tonight's winners, both first, second, and third place winners. In the high school, middle school, and elementary school, that's grades 3 through 5 category. We applaud all the students who submitted essays and participated in this contest, and we thank those winning essayists in particular for reminding us that water isn't just a central issue of our lives today, but it will remain a central issue in our lives tomorrow. Now, before we get to the program, let me do a couple of housekeeping things real quick. First of all, I would remind you that we are taping for Texas Public Radio tonight, and you can hear this broadcast next Friday, April 2nd, from 7 until 8 p.m. on the Newsmaker Show. And because we're taping live this evening, I would ask you to turn all your cell phones off at this point. And I would remind all of our speakers, especially our student speakers, to speak into the microphone tonight, to remember to enunciate, go slowly, and you will sound great on the radio. Now I'd like to introduce Dr. Matt Baker of Texas Tech University, my colleague. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Provost McCormick. On behalf of Texas Tech, we couldn't think of a better partner than Shriner University, and we really appreciate your hosting this event and making us all feel so comfortable tonight. We thank you and Shriner University as well. I also wanted to thank all the good people that are participating in the Texas Water Symposium, including Texas Public Radio and the Hill Country Alliance. We very much appreciate your leadership, and I think you're doing it right by involving or including in your programming a youth component. The students that you'll hear tonight, the students that we'll all hear tonight, I know will be very impressive to us, and you've worked very hard, and you're being honored tonight. We really just applaud you being here. We also want to thank your parents and your teachers that helped you, encouraged you, and just kind of held your hand or are here with you tonight. We appreciate them very much. And I reflect upon my own family. I have a fourth grader at home who will be competing in the science fair in Lubbock tomorrow. And this is a big deal. It really is a big deal, and we really do applaud the winners. Our next speaker is Representative Doug Miller, who serves as District 73 as the state representative. I had the pleasure of visiting with Representative Miller during dinner, and a wonderful advocate for water and water conservation and water rights. How fortunate the people are from Kendall County and Gillespie and Comal County and Bandera. He is a member of the House Committees on Appropriations, Natural Resources, and Administration. Representative Miller is a former chairman of the board of the Edwards Aquifer Authority, so he knows of what he speaks of tonight very well, and he is the longest-serving member of the body. Representative Miller is president of Miller & Miller Insurance Agency with offices in New Braunfels, Seguin, Universal City, and Uvalde. He lives in New Braunfels, and he has been recognized many times for his civic leadership. Without further ado, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate that. What a great evening we have here this evening. I want to, again, thank everyone for joining us, especially the young folks. As was mentioned earlier, you know, we are on Texas Public Radio, and I want to thank you and thank all of those people who are tuning in to listen to this show tonight. Certainly, you know, Shriner University and Texas Tech University and the Hill Country Alliance for their organization of this program. And this is, as was mentioned earlier, the last of the 2009-2010 edition of the Texas Water Symposium Series. And tonight's program, Kids, Water, and Science, Perspectives from Our Future, will certainly be as informative and I think maybe even a little entertaining as the other programs have been. And I've had the opportunity, with the help of Dr. Tom Arsufi, to participate in these programs in the past. And we certainly enjoying bringing this program to you from the campus here of Shriner University. You know, the structure of the format tonight and of this symposium is, as was mentioned, a little different from the past. You know, we're featuring these young people who have written essays. We're going to hear excerpts from three science and water experts here in just a moment. And, you know, so we're also going to have several essays read tonight. And we're excited about that. We thank you for the participation that you had. My involvement, as was mentioned just a moment ago, is been involved in water for the last decade or so. And I've often said, as we started down this road to educate Texans about our water needs, the future of water in Texas, that the most important Texan that needs to be educated is the children. The children need to be educated because they are our future, and what they learn, you know, it's kind of, I think back when I was young and seatbelts came into play. Everybody remember seatbelts and how it was the kids that made their parents buckle up for safety? And it's the same thing with water. You know, it's nothing. My children would come in and say, "Dad, you're taking a little long shower now." So we're going to hear some of those stories tonight. And I want to go ahead and introduce our first expert here. We do have Linda Ruiz McCall. She is in the Education and Outreach Department and a specialist in water science and conservation with the Texas Water Development Board. She received her Bachelor of Science in Geological Sciences and an MBA at UT Austin while earning her master's degree in secondary education from the Teachers College at Columbia University. I know that she has worked on some issues that are near and dear to me, such as rainwater harvesting. And I'm excited about having Linda Ruiz McCall come to the microphone now and speak to us a little about her agency and introduce the winners.
Hello. It is my great privilege to be here with you. You've heard I am a scientist. I've got a geology background in science. I work for a water agency, the Texas Water Development Board, and I'm a kid. I just grew a little bit older than some of you. One of the things that we study in geology is time. And how long the geologic time scale is. I want to tell you a little bit about the Texas Water Development Board and how time plays into that agency. The Water Development Board's mission is to provide leadership, planning, financial assistance, information, and education for the conservation and responsible development of water for Texas. The vision statement for the agency is sustainable, affordable, quality water for Texans, our economy, and our environment. Our agency was created when there was a period of drought that lasted a very long time in the 50s. And the legislature created the Water Development Board. And the voters of Texas subsequently approved a constitutional amendment authorizing TWDB to administer a $200 million water development fund to help communities develop water supplies. In the same year, the legislature mandated that Texas begin a formal process for developing a plan to meet the state's future water needs. Thus, statewide water planning began in earnest in 1957. And has evolved over the years into one of the most dynamic and innovative approaches to water management in the nation. Now, this state water plan is a projection looking out 50 years in the future. So just if you think about the math, take your age right now and add 50 to it. I'm doing it. I actually reached 50 myself a year or two ago. And was surprised when I worked with some 10 and 12-year-olds from Hunt, Texas, just a couple of weeks ago to talk about that. They were 10 or 11 and surprised that they would be in their 60s in 50 years. But our agency prepares a state water plan, and I really feel that children are so important to us because imagine you children in the audience could be serving on one of these decision-making boards for our future. Within the time period of our plan. Today I wanted to share an essay from a Texan who has passed away but was a writer and would like to use his words with you right now. He said, "As a boy growing up on a ranch at the edge of West Texas oil field, I learned the value of water at a tender age. Our drinking water was hauled from a deep well 10 miles away. The new boom town of Crane had not yet installed a waterworks, so early residents kept a barrel in front of their house or tent and paid a dollar to have it filled from a wagon or truck. By contrast, crude oil at the time was worth between 10 and 20 cents a barrel. Cost made the Texans prudent in their use of this precious commodity. Saturday night bathwater served several family members, one at a time. Today, water is Texas's most precious, most serious long-range challenge. A rapidly growing population faces a finite supply of water. In the past, the answer was simply to build another dam or drill more wells. But specialists agree the state has already developed most surface sites suitable for major storage. As for underground water, its availability varies widely and in too many places is declining at a worrisome pace. Many towns and cities have experienced the necessity of water rationing during Texas's all-too-frequent droughts. Even in more favorable years, we are becoming conscious of the need to conserve water for the droughts we know will come. Farmers and ranchers are well acquainted with springs and streams that go dry and with stock tanks that turn into dusty basins of dried and flaking mud. Most Texas aquifers' recharge rates lag far behind the rates of pumpage. Many irrigation wells have been deepened so many times that it is no longer economically feasible to pump them. All forms of life depend on water. Without it, nothing can live. We, as a state, can no longer afford to continue mining our irreplaceable aquifers without thought to the future, to generations yet unborn, and the drought years they are certain to face. We Texans will leave a rich historical and cultural legacy to our descendants, but it will mean little if we leave them without water. That is by Elmer Kelton, a Texan rancher, farm and ranch newspaper editor and journalist, published author of over 40 novels, including The Time It Never Rained, recipient of numerous awards for excellence in Western literature, and a proclaimed Texas legend by Texas Governor Rick Perry. Elmer Kelton understands Texas and the importance of water. And that is in our state water plan. And I wanted to share that with the future generations. I'm very excited about hearing your voices tonight. And what you just heard was a voice from the past. So for the elementary contestants, what I'd like to do is introduce your name and have you stand and be recognized, and then I'll be reading a couple of excerpts from the third, second place winners, and then we'll have the first place winner come up. So the first person I'd like to talk about is for the elementary competition for third place, Brooklyn Sutton. Would you please stand? And is your principal, Casey Johnson, here? Thank you. Okay, now I'm going to read some of Brooklyn's essay for you. And I can see now that where some of this comes from by looking at your smiling face. Splish, splash. Have you ever wondered what Texas importance of water is in Texas? I have, and I want to tell you about it. Here it goes. You go on to say, water also entertains. How, you ask? Well, when you go swimming or water sliding or you go boating, you're in the water, right? Well, you're having fun, so water is entertaining you. The Guadalupe River, which runs through our town, is the most popular place to swim during the summer, and swimming helps keep us healthy and active and off the couch. Brooklyn also said, if you see a piece of trash in the water, you should pick it up and throw it away to stop pollution and prevent a living thing in the water from getting caught in a piece of trash. Also, you should feel proud of yourself because it is like you just saved a life. Wonderful writing. Our second place winner, please stand, Sarah Browning. And Sarah, your principal, Angela Profall, are you here with us tonight? Please stand. Thank you. Okay, from Sarah. Water isn't that important, is it? Could we live without water? Not a chance. Could animals live without water? I wouldn't think so. We aren't the only creatures that need water, though. Plants need water to grow so that other animals and humans can consume them. Even the animals that devour the plants need water so we can come along and consume them. The point is, everything, even us humans, right here, right now, need water. Can you imagine what the world would be like without water? I can, but it's not very pretty. Nobody and nothing would be alive. The whole caboodle of everything would be dead. I mean, try and form a mental image of your backyard without water. We need water to help nourish our bodies so we can wash our clothes so our throats don't bleed. Then again, the blood in our bodies is mostly made of water, so we couldn't even bleed without water. We do need water so the earth doesn't dry up and mummify, and all of God's creation on earth would shrivel up. Anyway, we need to save clean and healthy water for the future so that my generation will have a long and happy green life. And for our first place winner, Kenzie Kowalski, please come up to the podium. You'll be reading your essay for us, and come on up. And I want to ask your principal, Margaret Webb, please stand and be recognized. Thank you so much.
The title of my essay is Got Water. Why we need water. Did you know that most of the Earth's surface is covered by water? The bad thing is, only 1% of that water is for drinking. Just think, the earth is overpopulating and we need water to live. How will we all survive on that little water? Well, that amount of water can decrease from pollution and carelessness of ourselves using water. In this paper, I would like to challenge the youth of today to preserve an important part of our future by bringing awareness to others on the importance of water conservation and cleanness. So let's swim through some important facts about water. Water pollution. The three main causes of water pollution are dirt, bacteria, and nutrients. Dirt can wash into streams. This can clog fish gills and block sunlight from underwater plants, preventing photosynthesis. Bacteria are a huge problem in our water. The bacteria that makes our world sick is lurking inside our water, which makes it not drinkable. Nutrients is another main cause of water pollution. The two main causes of nutrients are nitrogen and phosphorus, which can make algae at the bottom of our fresh water and turning it green. Have you ever walked by a body of water with soda cans, plastic, and fish floating at the top? Well, if we don't change, that's what our drinking water will look like in the future. How we can conserve water. We can all conserve water in so many ways. Here are a few tips on conserving water. First off, we could all stop running the water while we brush our teeth. Step two, we could all save water in leftover water bottles instead of throwing them away. Three, you could take a shower instead of a bath. And four, we could all take part in cleaning up pollution. My conclusion, if we all take part of saving and cleaning our water, I see a bright future ahead of us. We will have plenty of water to drink and enjoy. If we do nothing, in a couple of years, we will run out of water and dehydrate. We could also starve because the food we eat also relies on water to live. Please take my advice and help conserve and clean the world's water.
Wow. I think that's the best description. Good job, Kenzie, and congratulations to all of our winners in this first segment. I think you've got a future scientist there, don't you, Linda? Yeah, golly. Next, I'd like to introduce Irene Picard. She is the Assistant Director of Science at the Texas Education Agency. In that role, she provides leadership in the development, implementation, and effective operation of the K-12 science education program in Texas public schools. She provides policy clarification to school district personnel, colleges and universities, and professional organizations throughout the state, and collaborates in the development of statewide science assessments and the adoption of science textbooks. Please help me welcome Irene Picard.
Hello, good evening. It's nice to be here. I work for an agency that has the great pleasure of working with 4.7 million students across the state of Texas. We are a very big state, and we work with all the public schools in the state. We also collaborate with and answer questions and with private school and home schools as well, folks call us. So we have a wonderful job working with public education. And I'm going to have the great honor tonight of sharing with you some of the information about the middle school winners that I have. And I really enjoy middle school. That was one of the grades and areas that I taught. I taught eighth grade, and I taught biology before I moved into the State Department of Education. But our goal here at the State Education Agency is for students to know and understand about water, understand the concepts behind water. For example, all of our students should know about the water cycle. They should learn that in school. How water evaporates, how clouds are formed, transpiration, evaporation, runoff, how the cycle works. Students, when they get into middle school and high school, should start learning about water chemistry, solutions, things that dissolve in water. What are the implications of all the things that we have in dissolved water? But it's not just knowledge that we need in science education. We also need skills. For example, students need to know how to get information for themselves. So they're not just taking someone else's word for something. They can go out, they can make collections, they can make measurements, they can gather information so that they are understanding what it means to have water, enough water, clean water, and draw their own conclusions. So how can we go about this? Well, in the first place, what can schools do to help students know about water? And the first thing, and the most obvious thing, is schools can teach the essential knowledge and skills. And there are two subject areas where water fits in really nicely. One of them is not my subject area, but the social studies does a great job with water studies. How water was important for settlement, why people moved to a certain part of the state. What difference does it make that you, many of you, live nearby wonderful river land? What does that mean? Why did people come here? So patterns of settlement, for example, and need to understand water scarcity. In science, in my area, we also look at the process skills. How do we gather information about water? We just finished something brand new in science. We have brand new Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills that will be implemented in the schools this fall. And the teachers, we brought together groups of teachers who wrote these new knowledge and skills in science. And one of the things that they thought was very important is the laboratory and field investigations that students do in the science classroom. In fact, they said at middle school level, the level that I'll be getting to celebrate especially tonight with reading excerpts of the essays, that middle school students should spend 40% of their science time in laboratory and field investigations, because when you do something, haven't you found that you really remember it better? You don't just read it, you don't just hear it, but you actually do it. And so that's one of the important things that we can do in science. But it's not just schools that help us learn about water systems. We have to look at what our community partners can do as well. And our community partners are zoos, museums, universities, colleges like Shriner College, Shriner University, and Texas Tech University with their outdoor learning program at Junction. These programs play a really important role because they can partner with schools, help schools work with students to give them that hands-on learning that's so important for science, and give them that context in the community. What does it mean for me? So community partners are very important. And parents, you are very important too. There are things that, as parents, we can do with our children. For example, take a walk on a nice night like tonight. Go out and find the nearest body of water that you live near and ask yourself, where did this water come from? Where is this water going? Is any of this our drinking water? So parents have a really important role too. And students, of course, the most important role is yours. Asking questions, wondering about things, learning about things. It's very critical. So we all work together and help students learn about water systems. So tonight we're here to celebrate our middle school finalists as well. And we'll do the same thing. I'll read the name of the third and second place winners. I'd like you to stand up, and then we'll read an excerpt from their essay. And these are wonderful essays. I wish we could read every word of them. So for third place at middle school, Leanne Brewster, will you please stand up? Is Darlene Williams, your science teacher here, in the back of the room with the camera? Okay, thank you. So here's an excerpt from Leanne's essay. Conservation is the key. If we do not conserve or respect our water sources, our water will be gone and what is left will be polluted. Leaky pipes and/or faucets, for example, are huge wasters of our precious water. But many people are doing their best to detect leaks and preserve our water. All across Texas, people are cutting down on water usage and buying water-efficient toilets, faucets, and washing machines. In fact, many laws are being put into place that are all about conserving water and keeping it clean. None of this could be done without awareness. Awareness has let Texans see the need for conservation and why water is important. Texans as a whole have become more self-conscious about how we use water and are now working to change our old ways and create new ones. In conclusion, Texas water not only preserves life, it enhances the quality of life for people throughout Texas. Water serves many purposes in our communities. It is life, And as citizens of a sometimes drought-ridden state, we need to preserve water during times with and without it. Water is our most important resource, but we can't make more magically appear. As Texans, we need to be innovative and be the first to take the steps toward a better tomorrow. It is our duty as citizens of the Lone Star State, our home, Texas, to preserve water for future generations to come and leave it better than we found it. Thank you. That was wonderful. Our second place winner, I'm going to ask you to stand. Brian Moore, Burney Middle School. All right. Darlene Williams, already standing. All right. Let me read you a little of Brian's essay. Water is very directly influencing the lives of the Texas citizens by Texas dependency on dams. There are an amazing amount of dams in Texas, built for many reasons, but having one ultimate outcome, difficulty. Dams make large reservoirs, which are always primed to burst upon the surrounding land. When it rains, it can easily make these dams spill over the edge, causing massive flooding and death in the surrounding area, such as the dam in nearby Canyon Lake, known as Canyon Dam. Dams also hold back the power and pressure of a river, and they are under constant strain. They always need repair, and especially in Texas, are constantly in less than desirable condition. Many dams will burst in the near future, and when they do, they will create a wall of debris and water that will be unstoppable. The water will flood homes, kill hundreds, and the debris will crush and total many other structures and people. The hypothesis presented can be proven through one simple fact: water always wins. No matter how hard one tries, no matter how hard one works, water will always win, whether it is seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, years, or millennia. Human architecture will always lose against the most indomitable opponent on our planet. If you can't plug up a faucet with your finger, you can't plug up a river with concrete and steel. The main point of this essay has been to show how water controls our life in Texas. Very directly, very destructively. Without water, life is impossible. With it, however, it's very near impossible. Very good. Thank you. And now, for the middle school level, our first place winner, I'd like to ask Maddie Brown to come up and read your essay. And I want to see if John Chapman, superintendent, congratulations, and Principal Chris Yeske, congratulations. Now I give you Maddie Brown.
What a world this could be. When I wake up in the morning, I stumble to the bathroom and take a shower. Of course, that is after I use the toilet, which I flush. Then I stagger downstairs for my breakfast, smelling my mom's coffee that is brewed. I eat and go back upstairs to brush my teeth and hair. My cat Chica comes in and wants water, so I turn on the faucet for her to lap up as it runs. Never do I think about all the water that has been used during my morning routine. When we need to conserve water, period. Enough said. If we do not, then our planet will not exist and we don't survive. We need water for many reasons, but the main reason is using it for our survival. We cannot live without water. We need water in our systems because it rids our bodies of toxins that will hurt them if they stay. It's like if you put vinegar in a washing machine. It cleans it. We also need water for hydration. Our bodies are made of 60 to 70% water. So if we do not get enough water in our systems, our bodies will shut down. It allows oxygen to travel to our cells and allows nutrients to get to our organs. A normal person needs to drink 8 cups of water a day. If they do not, it's called dehydration, and people in dry southern states need to be careful during the summer because it's that we spend lots of time outside playing, working, and wasting time and water. Another reason we should conserve water is the environment. Even though we need water, so does the environment. The environment needs water for almost the exact same reason we do. The plants, including trees, grasses, bushes, flowers, and many others, need water to survive just like we do. Even though the species around us have adapted to having less water, Texas has been through a severe drought in the past 2 or 3 years, and many areas has put it in water restrictions. Our area, Bernie, was under stage 3 restrictions, which is very bad. We could water occasionally, but in my family's opinion, we just don't need to waste the water. Let our lungs struggle to survive. Another reason we should conserve water is the animals, wildlife. They were here before us, yet while we are here, we are taking away their supply of a resource needed to survive in our ecosystem. The wildlife are just the same as us and the environment. They have the same body systems as we do, so imagine if they do not have the water. The same thing that would happen to us would happen to them. But there is one difference. We have denied them the water. We have blocked their ability to get the water supplies by putting up fences and other blockades. All they can do is try to find better places for that special necessity. Imagine the Earth with no water. It's defiantly not pretty. It would be a vast desert with no vegetation, adapted wildlife, and lots of rocks and sand. It would be a lot like Death Valley, an area in Nevada, known for its deadly heat and lack of moisture. If we were lost there without water, we would die. We need to conserve water. There are many reasons, but all the reasons connect when it comes to helping the planet Earth. To practice conservation, we must do several things. We should recycle more of the water we use in water treatment plants. We should flush every other time that we use the toilet, and we should place a milk jug full of heavy stuff in the tank to use less water. We should time our showers so that they are shorter. We could catch rainwater and use it to water our lawns and gardens instead of turning on the hose. We could store water in the refrigerator and pour glasses from that instead of turning on the faucet and letting the water run until it gets cold and we can fill our glasses. Only run our washing machines when they are full, no small loads. Now think, if we did conserve water, what the Earth would look like. The plants would be plentiful, the wildlife would be healthier, and the humans, us, would be healthy, happy, and living well. If water was available, starvation might not exist. Areas like Africa would be much safer and better places to live because food would grow and people would have everything they need to survive. Even war might eventually cease because everyone is at peace and no one is struggling for their basic needs. Wow, what a world that would be. Let's take another look at my morning routine. Now, I wake up and stumble to the bathroom, use the toilet without flushing. I start my shower. However, I set the timer on the sink for 7 minutes. I have to get everything done by then. Phew. My mom's coffee still happens. Oh well, little steps are still being taken. I go back upstairs to brush my teeth, but I do not leave the water running while I brush. And when Chica comes in, I fill a small cup with water. She meows and turns her nose up, but she'll have to deal with it. Just like me, water is important, and saving it is necessary for my and our survival.
I am very fortunate. I have
one more talented middle school student to honor tonight, because we had a tie for third place. And I want to make sure that we all have a chance to honor Aaron Vanderkay. Aaron, would you... Is Shana Aldridge, his science teacher, here? All right. And I want to read you a portion of the essay that Aaron submitted. Water is the basis of life. The human body is about 70% water. People are advised to drink at least 4 cups per day. It is almost always abundant. 80% of the Earth's surface is covered by water. 2/3 of all the water on the planet is salt water. Water is part of everyday life. Water is important to me because I use it to keep good hygiene. I take a shower once a day. Usually, they are 20 to 30 minutes each. I am working hard to shorten the time down to about 10 to 15 minutes. I also use it to brush my teeth twice a day. During brushing, I normally let the water run. It will be difficult because old habits die hard, but I will try to shut off the water while I'm in the middle of brushing my teeth and washing my hands. Earth has the water that is needed, but it cannot be used when it is vapors in the air during a drought. Just because there are rivers that appear to be running fine does not mean we need to use a lot of water. The truth is that the land needs water to replenish the environment and stay healthy.
Thank you, Irene. It sounds like Aaron believes in cleanliness. I know it is important there. And golly, Brian, I think the Water Development Board might have an application for you on that dam safety program, too. And thanks, Maddie. We appreciate you, too. Next, I'd like to bring up Cindy Leffler. Cindy is the Water Resource Branch Chief of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. She has a Bachelor of Science degree in engineering from Colorado State University and is a registered engineer in Texas. She previously worked for U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Fort Collins, Colorado, and in her present role manages water quality and quantity programs at the Texas Parks and Wildlife response to water resources issues affecting fish and wildlife. And Cindy is working on the Edwards Aquifer Recovery and Implementation Program, which is very close and dear to my heart. So come on up, Cindy, and introduce your guest and tell us about it.
Thank you, Representative Miller. I'm very happy to be here tonight. And let me just say, I've been in Texas for 23 years now. This is home for me. Mother to two boys that were born here, two teenagers, so I'm really thrilled to see all the young people in the audience tonight and feeling very, very good about the future of Texas and Texas water. So, you know, I was thinking about what I wanted to pass along to y'all tonight, getting ready. You know, I think most of you probably know Texas is a pretty special place, and one of the things that makes Texas so special are the fish and wildlife resources. And in Texas, those resources belong to you, to the people of Texas. So my agency, Texas Parks and Wildlife, it's our job to take care of those fish and wildlife resources for you. As you heard, my job is to make sure there's enough clean, abundant water for fish and wildlife. Seems like that should be a pretty straightforward, easy thing to do, but not all the time, especially not last summer and you know, years when we have droughts. But you know, it's okay. Our fish and wildlife are pretty tough, and they've adapted to those situations. So our job is really to try to help, you know, make sure that those events don't occur more often than they need to. just does my heart good to hear everybody talking about conservation tonight, because that's the best thing that we could be doing for fish and wildlife resources. You know, we will have twice as many Texans 50 years from now. If you read the state water plan, you will know that. You know, that's not going to change. And so how do we make the most of the water resources that we have? We conserve, all of us. We have lots of opportunities to do that. I'm also on the Texas Water Conservation Advisory Council for Texas Parks and Wildlife. And if you'd asked me when I was 10 years old and deciding, you know, that this would be a good area to get into, you know, if these would be the sorts of activities that I would do, I would have never, you know, never guessed. But it's been very good. You know, we have a number of scientists and other experts that work at Texas Parks and Wildlife. I like to go and talk to the middle schoolers and high schoolers and college kids about coming to work at Parks and Wildlife. So I'm going to take the opportunity here. You know, got a number of potential Parks and Wildlife employees in the audience tonight. But just know that at Parks and Wildlife, yes, we have scientists that work on water issues. My background in engineering, hydrology, science of water. We also have chemists that work with us, and of course biologists, lots of fisheries biologists and wildlife biologists. But we also have attorneys. When you start working on water issues, you very quickly find that you have to follow the laws, and you need to understand how those laws work in Texas. Representative Miller spends many hours helping to make those laws that we follow in Texas. So that's a very important area. Another area that comes to mind this evening, as we're hearing from all of our bright young students, is the ability to communicate. You know, it's one thing to like to work with fish and critters and be outside and, you know, enjoying the natural resources. But if you can't explain to other people why these things are important, and don't worry, y'all are doing a great job of that, then it makes our job harder. So having the ability to communicate, writing, verbally, the way we're doing this evening, those are very important skills. So I just wanted to pass along a couple of things from Parks and Wildlife. I'm also excited to see all of the talent this evening. We have some tough problems that we're going to be dealing with. We are now, and we will continue in the future. You know, drought is just one thing that we've talked about. You know, climate change is something we recognize at the department as being a threat to our fish and wildlife. And so what will our future look like, and how will we help our fish and wildlife resources adapt to those changes? Invasive species, you know, Texas is a very biologically diverse state. We have nearly 250 species of fish, but we've lost almost half of those. Or I'm sorry, we've lost some of those, and we're 40% are in trouble, so we haven't lost half yet. But we worry about some of these trends that we see, you know, with exotic species, invasive species coming in. You know, what can we do to help those species be, and those ecosystems be, as resilient as they possibly can? So just a couple of examples of some of the tough issues that we're dealing with that we need your help on. So before I announce the winners of the the high school essays, I want to read a quote to you that I found that I think, you know, came from another student that grew up not too far from here that went on to do great things for our country. President Lyndon Baines Johnson. And I really like this quote with respect to you know, what we're doing here this evening, and how we should be proud of our young folks and what we should be doing for our young folks. If future generations are to remember us with gratitude rather than contempt, we must leave them more than miracles of technology. We must leave them a glimpse of the world as it was in the beginning, not just after we got through with it. So, you know, what that means to me personally is, yes, we have the technology. Yes, our engineers can solve a lot of our problems, but we really do need to think about and be careful stewards of the resources that we have for our children, our children's children, and future generations. So with that, let's go ahead and announce the winners for the high school essays. Let's start first with third place. Can Brandon Perez stand up? And also, Superintendent John Chapman and Principal Chris Yeshke. Are they here? Yes. Could you please stand? Thank you. Okay, I'm going to read just a bit of Brandon's essay. I'd love to read it all, but we'll go with a paragraph here. Water conservation is an important concept to learn. Unfortunately, water is not a limitless resource. Without conservation, there is a very real threat of water shortages in the areas that need water the most. If you conserve water, you could save a lot of money on your water bill and even your taxes. The more water that is conserved, the less need there will be for expensive facilities to desalinate or treat water that currently isn't able to be used for human consumption. Water conservation is important from the environmental standpoint because it increases the amount of usable water that is available overall. You can save money and greatly help the environment simply by taking the time to reduce your water usage and eliminate water waste. Water is a very important thing that supports life in the world. It must be taken care of and not overused. Why destroy the most important resource that keeps us alive? All right. Okay. Our second place winner is Lauren Berry. Is Lauren here? Okay. We thought she might not be here. All right. We'll just go ahead and go to our first place winner, Matthew Rego. Matthew? Matthew is from Tybee High School and is Ellen Williams here, the Senior Director of Advanced Academics for Kerrville ISD. Okay. Matthew, would you please read your essay for us?
It's water. A man crosses a desert, his throat cracking with every breath. His canteen is empty as it has been for days. He is wandering the dusty, endless plains, looking for drinkable water anywhere he can find it. There used to be fresh water everywhere, but now there is none. This man may not exist, but this story could happen. Here in Kerrville, we use underground aquifers fed by rivers or springs. Because they are underground, anything we do to the soil filters down to our drinking water. Just imagine how many times you've seen any toxic liquid on the ground, oil on the road, someone throwing out some dish soap, or even fertilizers and pesticides used in backyards. All of these things slowly work their way down every time it rains to the aquifer from which we drink. Water covers 70% of our earth, 3% of the 70 is drinkable, and 67.8 of that 3% is trapped in glaciers in the North and South Poles. That's 0.6321125% of a percent that is the drinkable water available to us. And of that percent, we are actively drinking, using, or polluting. What will happen when we run out of fresh water? Scientists are working on a solution even now. There have been plans to harvest the ice caps, but that's only a temporary solution. Some scientists are trying to harvest drinkable water from the ocean by freezing the top layer of ice with liquid nitrogen. The resulting pancakes of thin floating ice are free from salt. Some people are using the power of the sun to evaporate the water from the salt, but unfortunately, none of these methods are very effective. But of course, this essay is not about the planet in general, but about my home, in this case, Texas. Here in Texas, we mainly use aquifers to supply water to towns. Aquifers are giant holes in the ground in which water sits, and the city pumps out, filters it, cleans it as best they can, and sends it through the pipes to your sink or shower. The past few years have been very dry for Kerrville, and we are now finally coming out of the long drought. But unfortunately, with the still-depleting aquifers, 7 major, 16 minor in Texas to be exact, our city has placed levels of restriction on our water consumption to help ease the strain on our underground aquifers. These restrictions range from watering at night to no watering, and then usage restrictions if it gets really bad. Because the water is getting lower in our water supply, something we need to worry about now is toxicity. With the water getting lower, concentrations of toxic chemicals in the water are rising in ppm, or parts per million, and our water is getting more and more unhealthy to drink. Today, the ppms are relatively low, but over the years they could rise. But of course, this is never going to affect you, right? True. This problem may never affect you, but think, after every generation, the ppms will rise for your children's children and their children. And finally, there's going to be a huge problem. A problem that was little now and would have been stopped easily by us is now an irreversible hazard to the people of the future. Wells are an alternate source of water for people who live in rural areas away from towns. Wells get their water from deep holes in the ground drilled into the hidden underground spring or river. Then a pump is set up and a tank to collect the water is installed. A few months ago, I met a woman who had a model which really intrigued me. It was made of glass and had a miniature representation of water wells in different types of soils, and the whole thing had water flowing through it. She took out a medicine dropper and put a drop of food coloring above one well and allowed me to watch as it spread around to the adjacent wells, dyeing the water in them green also. Then she used a different dropper to suck one well dry, and the wells around it quickly went down. That model taught me about toxicity and this. Wells are an unreliable source of water because the water available to tap into is getting lower all the time. Because of the fact that water is all connected, drain your water from your well here, and the wells around you go down. Nearly everyone with a well at some time or another has had this problem and has had to drill down further when the water got lower than their pipe reaches. Usually, people only have to drill a few feet and then they strike water again. But nowadays, with the water getting really low, people are having to drill 60 and 70 more feet, and some are still not striking water. Texas has an economy that is the second largest in the nation. Unfortunately, Texas is mainly dependent on agriculture, meaning we mainly export crops and livestock, both of which depend on water. Without our water, both of these businesses would dry up and move elsewhere. This is a problem to worry you now, because this can happen to you. One day, if the rains don't come for months at a time, the crops start failing, and the livestock start dying, Texas' economy would recede because of the major loss of tax money we would have received from the sale of the crops and cattle that would have been sold. Businesses could shut down. Then, Texas would be in a huge recession. You may say, I'm just one person. I can't possibly make this happen just by wasting a little water here and there. Yes, but think of all the other one persons who think the same thing in every town and every city in Texas. All of them combined do make a huge difference. These days, scientists are working hard to measure the water levels and come up with new ways to conserve valuable H2O. Some are working down below, taking samples, the unsung heroes of urban life, while others are working above to teach us about conserving water. Like the woman I mentioned, working to halt the lowering of our aquifers, not by finding more water, but by teaching us to conserve our greatest natural resource. Because of this woman, I decided to write this essay in hopes of a little of what she taught me will rub off on you and influence you to conserve water as well.
My goodness. Matthew, if you ever need a job as a speechwriter, as I go around talking about water around this state, I'm going to call on you. So doesn't that restore your faith in our young people and give us hope for the future that the young people like this right here in this room are out there and are thinking about issues, important issues, such as the future of our water in Texas. Some of the things that I just want to conclude this evening in thanking each and every one of you, certainly the parents and of these children for encouraging them, because we all know it starts at home, their encouragement. And thank you to the teachers who encourage them in their educational life to excel and to step out and to think about important issues beyond maybe just those that they read in the textbooks or learn in school. So thanks to all of you. You know, we've got a huge state here that we live in and we enjoy, but there are a lot of challenges, some huge challenges, and water is certainly one of the most prevalent challenges that we faced. I heard someone tonight, one of the excerpts talked about the population growth. Right now, we're at about 25 million people in Texas. Soon, it's estimated by 2014 that we're going to be at 27 million people. And, that the resource of water that we have in this state is being challenged. And as we've had, as was mentioned, with recent droughts, it's not always available when those 25 or 27 million people need it. And you're right, someone mentioned how entertaining water is. I would think that places like Schlitterbahn certainly agree with entertainment, and a lot of Texans enjoy their water, certainly in swimming and canoeing and crafting down the rivers and streams like the Guadalupe right from here in the Hill Country. Conservation is a great key, and that is one of those areas where we can all do more And I think it's great that we're going to cut that from that 30-minute shower down to that 15-minute shower and might go all the way to 5 minutes. In fact, the Edwards Aquifer Authority's got a little hourglass there that you can put right in your shower. So, and thinking about the environment, all of it, where we live is so important that it needs to be a priority. And if we're not thinking about it and concentrating on what we can do to keep a good supply of good, clean water available to us, we really have lost our future. So I have learned from, even in all of my years of experience, I've learned from you tonight, and I thank you for that. And I've learned also that I'm encouraged that there are going to be some pretty sharp young people coming up in the future that are going to help develop our future water laws in Texas. So I would just say, kind of going back to my early intro remarks, is I think we all need to buckle up and get ready for the ride that these young people are going to take us on into the future of Texas. Don't you think they did a great job tonight? Let's give them all a round of applause. And again, I want to say thank you to Tom and Christy, Bob and Ernie, and Shriner University and Texas Tech University and the Hill Country Alliance. Let's give them a hand for putting together this program in this context. Thank you again, parents, teachers, educators, administrators, and family members for being here, and certainly thank you, young folks, students, for your work and your essay and putting down your thoughts to communicate to the rest of us. This last reminder, and before you get away, is that we'd like to have all of the student winners come up to the front and to receive their awards and to have a group photograph taken. So, thank you all again, and that concludes our program.